This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today, it's a first for Intelligent Medicine in an unprecedented move. I'm interviewing two esteemed colleagues simultaneously. They come to us via Skype at various locations, and they're going to talk to us about a joint project of theirs, which is extremely exciting. One guest, well known to you listeners, because Dr. Lise Alschuler is a perennial guest here on Intelligent Medicine. She's a naturopathic physician who has a subspecialty in oncology, and she's an expert on natural support for patients with cancer. She's teamed up today with Carolyn Gazella, who's her collaborator in a very, very exciting program that they've just launched, and we're commemorating that launch with this podcast. It's a website called iThriveplan.com, and it's all about supporting cancer survivors. So welcome to both of you, Carolyn and Lise. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for having us on the show. This is Carolyn, and I am doing awesome, Dr. Hoffman.
Well, and I am doing equally as awesome. This is Lise.
Okay, great to hear from you. So, what is this about? First of all, maybe frame the issue for us, because cancer survivorship, this is really a burgeoning population, isn't it? Because with advances in cancer care, more and more, and possibly not even necessarily care, because we haven't found that magic bullet to cure cancer, but we're detecting more cancer. So there are more and more cancer survivors, people who, maybe they've received some kind of treatment, but doctors say you're fine. That is until the other shoe drops, and maybe they're not fine, and they're left in the dark as to what they can do to increase their odds of surviving cancer.
You know, this is Lise, and this is such an important group of people to really address. Cancer survivors have incredibly important and unique needs. The interesting thing is, not too long ago, I would say as little as 10 years ago, there was sort of this attitude of, wow, you know, you made it through your treatment, good for you, have a good life. And cancer survivors were patted on the back and sent off. They felt like they were just put to the edge of a cliff. They were looking down into this deep, dark valley, not knowing exactly where to go or what to do next, and they weren't feeling very well. And, you know, that's really the case with survivorship. People who make it through treatment tend to emerge with pretty significant symptoms. Up to 90% have fatigue. Up to 75% have sleep disturbances. Up to 75% have cognitive issues. You know, and these are unique symptoms in that their cause is unique, and the way that they get resolved is unique. Plus, they are terrified of having to go through that again. So they're highly motivated to prevent recurrence. So it's a very unique population. And I think that there needs to be much more resource put to this population, which really is a now recognized need. There's a lot of initiatives on the conventional side that have been put forward to try to create some vehicles to provide more services to people with, who've gone through treatment. And I think that the handoff from the oncologist back to the primary care doctors is getting worked on to allow a better handoff. And still, there's still a very big gaping hole in terms of what survivors can take on for themselves to really move from where they're at to where they want to be.
Any estimates on the scope of the problem? How many people fall into this category? I think it must be upwards of 10 million.
Yeah, actually close to 15 million now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, Carolyn, if you have anything you want to add to that in terms of the number or the kind of trends around survivorship?
Yeah, actually, it is close to 15 million and it's growing. It's expected to be over 18 million by 2020. So there's a lot of us. And as a cancer survivor myself, I can tell you that it's a frightening diagnosis. And as Lise was citing the statistics, there's another statistic as well. 70% of cancer survivors report that they are afraid of a recurrence. And this is despite their prognosis and their diagnosis. So even if their risk is low, they're really afraid of getting cancer again, and they're hungry for proactive ways that they can reduce their risk. And I can relate to this. I'm an ovarian cancer survivor, and I come from a family with a lot of cancer survivors. So I feel like joining Lise on this venture is my life's work. This is what we were meant to do. So we're super excited to be able to serve the needs, the very specialized needs of this particular population that we can relate so well to.
And of course, it is somewhat disempowering to tell a cancer patient, a patient who may be questing for solutions like, are there any supplements I can take? Does exercise make a difference? Is stress reduction germane to my recovery? Or does diet make a difference? To be told, nah, you know, it's all kind of the luck of the draw. And, you know, if the cancer comes back, we'll just up the chemo, up the hormonal therapy, employ radiation. These are options that, you want them to be just a fallback and not necessarily a program going forward.
Yeah, that is so true. And what's interesting about that, too, is that people who have gone through cancer, and I say this both as a clinician and as a survivor myself, really emerge from this experience different. And one of the differences is that the disease carries such an ominousness to it, and the treatments are so challenging that there's a very deep kind of renewal of spirit and of drive to not only get back to the way they felt before they had cancer, but really to improve their health, to establish a new normal that's really full of wellness. And I think that that's what people who are done with this treatment want, or even people who are still continuing with long-term treatment, they really want to get a hold of a brand new level of wellness. And that is something that it goes beyond just cancer prevention, although that's certainly top of mind, is to not have to go through this again. But it's really also about trying to take this disease and learn from it in as much of a positive way as they can to, okay, let me do what I can to really create more health in my body. So even if I get recurrence, I'm going to be a healthy person with mm-hmm. this disease.
Well, yeah, you know, it certainly could be a teachable moment. It's a wake-up call. It gets your attention big time. And so often I've heard, for example, from men with prostate cancer, it's the prostate cancer that ultimately saved their lives, because they may have been engaged in poor lifestyle habits. They may have been obese, sedentary, eating bad food. And as a result of a cancer diagnosis, they may have averted the single most common cause of death for men and for women, which is cardiovascular disease. You know, eat better, exercise, and good things happen.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. I think that even in my own case, I was typical Midwest diet, fried foods and workaholic, and had all those things before my ovarian cancer diagnosis. And it did. I mean, it's a scary teacher, and it's a pretty, I would rather learn my lessons on other ways, but it is. It's such a profound teacher, and it can be transformative. And I think that's what the work that we do is all about. I mean, we focus on diet, certainly, and we focus on movement, but we also focus on things like, there's a whole category called spirit. And in that category, we look at support and love and gratitude and optimism. So I think it has to be a very comprehensive approach in order for us to allow cancer to be that teacher that we know it can.
Well, this being the case that these natural therapies are beneficial, a lot of people don't have the resources to go to holistic practitioners like ourselves to get tailored individual care. And I guess that's the mission of iThriveplan.com, which is to get basic information out in an affordable form to the, you know, the millions of people who are in this predicament. So tell us about that initiative. This is brand new. It's available through an app, I understand, correct?
Yes, it's kind of an app. It's actually just an online program so that people can access this through their computer, through their phone, you know, their smartphone, phone, tablet, anything that gets them online. And they access it through iThriveplan.com. And it really is our attempt to create a individualized survivorship plan that's lifestyle-based, that will empower people to gain more health through very individualized and doable strategies in the areas of diet, movement, environment, and also looking at rejuvenation, which is kind of rejuvenation from stress, as well as spirit. And we take all of these categories and put this into a create a way that is very dynamic and inspiring. One of the challenges that really anybody going online, particularly people who have cancer, will find is that there is information out there, but it's very static, so that it doesn't really convey a lot of inspiration. It doesn't necessarily speak to them. It's somewhat generic. So what we tried to do is, based on clinical research, everything's clinically research-based, let's come up with a way to assess each individual and then match them and their abilities in each of these five key areas to very unique steps, what we call action steps, that will take them one step at a time closer to their wellness. Even if they're seeing an integrative healthcare practitioner, this complements that beautifully. It doesn't really take the place of an integrative practitioner, but it really builds their foundation of health.
And it starts with a questionnaire. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what might people expect if they go to iThriveplan.com and sign up, start their plan, and undertake a questionnaire.
Yeah, I can answer that, Dr. Hoffman. This is Carolyn, because this is one of the coolest things ever, and it was totally new to me. We actually have a PhD mathematician on our team, and what we did is we went through this validation process for our questions. So we had to start out with like 300 questions, and we had to get X number of people answer those 300 questions, and then we went through this iterative process to come down to questions that will now only take 10 to 15 minutes to answer, but that because of the mathematician and the algorithm and the fancy stuff that I know nothing about, because of that math, it automatically categorizes the user in a very personalized way. So a typical survey is just has simple branching. So like if you do a Survey Monkey or some other survey, it's just yes, no, and just simple branching, but not our survey. We go to the next level, and that's actually the secret sauce. Mm-hmm. That's how we can personalize it for the user. So 10, 15 minutes later, they press a button and they automatically get their very individualized strengths report, which shows them in a really cool way where they land in each of the five categories. And then the algorithm pulls forward these action steps that Lise mentioned, and they get to choose. There's 15 different action steps that they can choose two of each week to work on. And each action step is a strategy that has five different tasks associated with it. And as Lise mentioned, you know, our whole goal was to keep it simple yet compelling. So these are things that are totally doable, and yet they're fun. You know, it's a multimedia format. There's audio, there's video, there's infographics, there's PDFs that they can print out. So it's a lot more engaging, which means that people are going to be more likely to stick with it, which is the whole goal.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all, because there are actually sites which talk about various things you can do, and you kind of have to puzzle your way through them and decide what part is relevant to you and what part is not. This actually customizes a plan for you and then kind of spoon-feeds that plan to you in bite-sized chunks, so that you're not overwhelmed with, you know, 49 different tasks that you have to do from the outset.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. We haven't actually used that metaphor yet, but I like it, little bite-sized pieces.
Me too. And,
we talk about baby steps, so we're all on the same wavelength with that. But it very much is. This is actually based on behavioral modification and sort of the psychology of using web-based applications. We used to think that if you give people a lot of badges and hurrahs, that motivates them, and that does motivate to some extent. We all like to be praised for our work, but the newer thinking around how we motivate ourselves to actually make changes is that we need to, first of all, be assessed where we're at, and then that needs to be accurate. So as Carolyn explained, the survey is psychometrically validated to be, in fact, an accurate reflection of your abilities. And then we need to be presented with possible actions, and we need to have some autonomy in that. So we need to be able to choose or to reject or to accept what's being offered to us. And then what we do needs to be broken up into little baby steps so that we actually can accomplish something. We're just taking where we're at and we're moving ourselves forward just a little bit. And furthermore, as Carolyn said, each of these action steps is comprised of 5 sequential activities, and that's about building behaviors so that we know it takes repetition to build habits. So when we focus on something in these little baby steps in a repetitive manner, we can actually emerge with new awareness about ourselves in relation to whatever we picked, and we can also, of course, have been building a habit as we go. People can go back and repeat that action step in its entirety again if they want to continue to work on it, and that's another choice point. So it's really kind of focused and organized around some of the latest thinking and how we can actually motivate change, motivate, you know, differences. And that's really important to Carolyn and I, because the last thing we want to do is just to put something out there which had a lot of bells and whistles but didn't really impact people. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to create something that would help people make true change, and they would feel the benefits of it right away.
Well, let's look at some of the problems that cancer survivors may encounter, if I might. So one that you mentioned, or you alluded to earlier, is what can be termed a chemo brain. Patients who receive chemotherapy sometimes have cognitive problems, and it's particularly bad in women because sometimes simultaneously they lose their hormones, you know, as a consequence of cancer therapy. So they have memory problems, they have focus problems, they feel brain dead. So what would be, you know, if your algorithm, you know, your responders certain way in the questionnaire, and this is, you know, score high in that regard, what steps would you be led towards?
You know, it's an interesting concept, because the algorithm actually doesn't focus on specific symptoms. It's the answers to the questions within each of the category that identifies your score. So while there might be one question that relates to a specific symptom or issue, the algorithm actually takes all of the answers together and then combines them to pull action steps forward. But you bring up a really good point. Now, let me just give you a couple examples of the variety that would address this particular issue. For mm-hmm. example, we know that from a dietary standpoint, there are foods that we can eat that can enhance memory and can help with issues associated with foggy brain and thinking. So they may get an action step surrounding that. There's a really fun action step in movement that has the person doing little brain games while they're exercising. And we know that when somebody is exercising and they're just not, you know, listening to music and, you know, they're actually doing a little fun brain game while they're exercising, it actually enhances cognitive function. So we can actually take that example, like fatigue is another example that mm-hmm. A lot of people struggle with. We have an action step, an environmental action step that teaches people how to kind of energize their work and home environments with colors and, you know, all different kinds of things. And that's a really fun action step, because people may not even realize that their work and home environment could be draining them. It could be actually enhancing their fatigue. So there are numerous ways and entry points for us to attack a lot of the very real, unique situations that survivors are in.
And I see it, you know, from your the webpage, iThrivePlan.com, that you offer this to individuals, but you also envision offering this for cancer centers, maybe for small centers that haven't developed their own programs. They can kind of have an institutional iThrive plan that they can offer their clients or their patients.
Yeah, we've actually been, this is Lise, we've been very fortunate in that even before we were fully launched, we have three cancer centers that have already licensed this program. And they're very forward-thinking cancer centers, I might add. And they really saw the potential for this to enliven their survivors and to really enliven their survivorship offering. So they are providing it to their patients free. And what's really great about that for the cancer centers is that, number one, they have something that's very dynamic and very pleasing to the survivors, and they therefore can gain, you know, kind of maintain a really good relationship ongoing with the survivors. And then secondly, to cancer centers, we provide on the back end some what's called aggregated data, so we can provide the cancer center with a view into how the patients that are using the program are faring compared to those who are not, and kind of where their distress level's at. We also even have individualized distress alerts. So if a survivor's going through the survey and they answer a question that triggers an alert, the cancer center is immediately mm-hmm. notified. Wow. So it just kind of helps to provide some continuity of care for the cancer center as well. In fact, that was, you know, kind of going, as startups are, we sort of went through many iterations. That was our primary intent with this, was to really provide it through cancer centers. But for a variety of reasons, not the least of which was a lot of survivors were saying, my cancer center is never going to do that. I want to use it too. We decided to make sure it's available directly to the consumer as well.
Well, that's great. It's what they call a turnkey operation for cancer centers, because why reinvent the wheel since you've done such a beautiful job, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it keeps the cancer centers connected to their patients. Now, that was one of the frustrations that they would voice to us when we were talking to the cancer centers. What they would say is, gosh, we lose touch. Once treatment is done, we lose touch with our cancer survivors, and we really want to meet their specialized needs. Most cancer survivors will go to their general practitioner, and that general practitioner, you know, may not be aware that fatigue is different in a cancer survivor than it is in a general patient. So the cancer centers are really loving the fact that they can stay connected. And as Lise mentioned, these are progressive centers that are already doing a lot for their cancer survivors, but they feel like this is the answer, and they're wrapping their entire survivorship program around iThrive, which is really exciting for us.
Well, you've provided us with a beautiful introduction to the iThrive plan, and our listeners know that we divide our podcast into two parts. So in part two, we're going to take a deeper dive into what's in it. Our guests, Carolyn Gazella and Lise Alschuler, both naturopathic physicians, themselves cancer survivors, also hosts of a radio program. Tell us about that.
Yes, we have our own radio show, which you have been and will be guests on, and that is 5 to Thrive Live, and we air that show through W4CS.com, and actually we also repost our podcast on our website, which is the iThrivePlan.com. It's Tuesdays if you want to hear the live show at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
And actually, I'd like to add something. I'm actually not a naturopathic physician, but I've been involved in the naturopathic profession.
She plays one on the radio.
Yeah, that's right. I've actually been involved in the naturopathic profession for a long time as a publisher. I have been publishing medical journals for 25 years. I published the official journal of the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians, mm-hmm. an organization that actually gave me an award, the Champion Award, for publishing their journal. So, yeah, I've loved naturopathic medicine, and I love naturopathic doctors. So you can make that mistake anytime.
Right. You actually have the AAN degree, also a naturopath. I think that we'll accord.
Yeah,
we'll award that degree to you.
Thank you.
Just spontaneously. Okay, great. So let's pause. And when we come back, we invite our listeners to rejoin us for a conversation about cancer survivorship with Carolyn Gazella and Lise Alschuler. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.